Welcome to Enclave on Air. I'm your host today, Jax DiEugenio. In today's episode, we spoke with Neil S. Akabe, MD, about recent updates to the NCCN guidelines for patients with nasopharyngeal carcinoma and how these changes are shaping clinical practice within the United States. Our conversation also revolved around how both JUPITER-02 and DIAMOND studies reinforce the evolving role of immunotherapy across disease stages, with ongoing efforts to optimize sequencing, minimize toxicity, and extend durable responses for patients with nasopharyngeal carcinoma. Okay, so to start off, what is the latest NCCN guideline updates for patients with nasopharyngeal carcinoma?
The biggest updates in the NCCN guidelines with regards to the management of nasopharyngeal carcinoma is now the availability of toripalimab, a PD-1 inhibitor, in the United States. Much of the studies for nasopharyngeal carcinoma have occurred in endemic regions in East Asia, and the studies have primarily included toripalimab, which up until recently was not available in the United States. And so as a result of that, although the data was quite compelling for the use of PD-1 inhibitors, particularly in recurrent metastatic EBV-positive nasopharyngeal carcinoma, it was not available, and we were using other PD-1 inhibitors. For right now, the standard of care for locally advanced disease, which we hope to change, but the standard of care remains induction chemotherapy with platinum, cisplatin specifically, and gemcitabine for 3 cycles, followed by concurrent chemoradiation with cisplatin. In the metastatic setting, frontline metastatic disease has really been determined by the JUPITER-02 trial and includes cisplatin, or commonly carboplatin, gemcitabine, and now toripalimab. Historically, in the United States, we would be using other PD-1 agents. Now we're capable of using toripalimab, where the bulk of evidence exists.
Okay, excellent. So just elaborating a little bit more, how would you say that you've been integrating these updates into your clinical practice, particularly with the shift to toripalimab and this guideline?
So with these updates, particularly the long-term follow-up data from JUPITER-02 for recurrent metastatic disease, as now the NCCN guidelines incorporates the utilization of toripalimab and it is available in most centers across, if not all centers across the country, in patients who have recurrent metastatic or de novo metastatic nasopharyngeal carcinoma, I have been utilizing gemcitabine, cisplatin, and toripalimab for all frontline metastatic disease. This would be most true for EBV-positive nasopharyngeal carcinoma, but certainly would be also considered in patients who have a non-EBV-associated disease, although we must admit the data is not specifically been studied in that population.
Thank you. And then what is the rationale for adding toripalimab to chemotherapy in the first-line setting, and what are the synergistic effects that we're seeing with that combination?
So the addition of immunotherapy on top of chemotherapy really adds significant benefits to the duration of response in nasopharyngeal carcinoma, similar to what we have seen in other cancer types. Chemotherapy may significantly reduce the bulk of cancer. That's certainly seen in nasopharyngeal carcinomas, where objective response rates can approach 80 to 90%. However, durations of response are very short after the completion of the chemotherapy regimen. The addition of a PD-1 inhibitor, in this instance, toripalimab, in a tumor type such as nasopharyngeal carcinoma, where PD-L1 expression is almost universal, offers synergistic and additive benefits that can really drive out the duration of response. And that was what was really seen in the JUPITER-02 trial, where there was nearly a tripling in the median progression-free survival of the investigational arm, gemcitabine, cisplatin, and toripalimab, versus just cytotoxic chemotherapy alone.
So then last year at ASCO, we saw the 4-year data from JUPITER-02. So looking at that, what stood out to you in terms of efficacy?
What stood out to me with regards to the efficacy of the JUPITER-02 trial was a few things. One is how different EBV-positive nasopharyngeal carcinoma is from other mucosal squamous cell carcinomas of the head and neck. The combination of and synergy between chemotherapy and immunotherapy is quite dramatic, with median progression-free survivals in the investigational arm, the chemotherapy and immunotherapy arm, passing or moving beyond even 20 months, which is almost unheard of in HPV-positive and an HPV-unrelated disease with a similar combination of chemotherapy and immunotherapy. It just represents the fact that the biology of EBV-positive nasopharyngeal carcinoma is distinct, very responsive to both chemo and immunotherapy. It also told us that we can really drive the duration of response with the addition of PD-1 inhibitors to chemotherapy. We already knew that PD-1 inhibitors could be beneficial in the platinum refractory setting, as reflected by the POLARIS-02 trial. But then pulling that PD-1 inhibitor, in this instance, toripalimab, in combination of chemotherapy was really able to demonstrate synergistic benefit and drive the duration of response and therein overall survival. Further, with regards to the safety from JUPITER-02, on the whole, the additive benefit of PD-1 inhibitors, toripalimab to cytotoxic chemotherapy and with regards to gemcitabine and cisplatin did not seem to have, although it has synergistic benefit with regards to efficacy, did not seem to add significant toxicity, both short-term and long-term. There is an increase in the rate of immune-related adverse effects, but generally those are grade 1 and include rash or hypothyroidism, which are very easily managed with topical steroids or thyroid replacement therapy.
Excellent. Thank you for that context. And then moving on to the DIAMOND study that was presented at this year's ASCO, what were some of the key efficacy data that were really relevant here?
With regards to the DIAMOND trial really tried to address the question of that we know that locally advanced nasopharyngeal carcinomas can be associated with a very good prognosis. And leaning into what has already been demonstrated by prior trials, such as the CONTINUUM trial, where the addition of PD-1 into the locally advanced setting, both in the neoadjuvant space and the concurrent phase of treatment, appears to add benefit, at least as defined by event-free survival. However, one of the challenges of the management of nasopharyngeal carcinoma is that the addition of cisplatin to radiation in the concurrent phase is associated with significant toxicities, both in the short term and the long term. So the key efficacy endpoint with regards to the DIAMOND trial was that in the investigational arm, patients received gemcitabine and cisplatin plus toripalimab, but then when they got to the concurrent phase, they just received toripalimab and radiation without the addition of concurrent cisplatin. And in comparison to the control arm, which is, I admit, not the control arm that would be traditionally given, it was people who received gemcitabine and cisplatin plus toripalimab, followed by cisplatin, toripalimab, and radiation. The toripalimab and radiation arm had equivalent efficacy with less toxicity.
Then, elaborating on the safety profile of toripalimab, what were the notable safety updates that were seen in that trial?
With regards to safety in the DIAMOND trial, the addition of toripalimab into the induction phase, into the concurrent radiation phase, and in the maintenance phase did not reveal any significantly new or unanticipated toxicities. What was seen was that by the addition of toripalimab both to the induction phase and the concurrent phase, by dropping the cisplatin, there was a significant reduction in the acute toxicities that would be anticipated from concurrent chemoradiation with cisplatin, specifically reductions in nausea, dermatitis, mucositis. With regards to immune-related adverse events, they were also lower in the investigational arm, although they did occur in the control arm because, again, the control arm did incorporate toripalimab, which is a slight deviation for what would be considered the standard of care, where we don't traditionally use PD-1 inhibitors in the locally advanced setting yet. With regards to mitigation of those things and managements of those side effects, on the whole, very simple management, standard of care approaches for radiation-associated toxicities for mucositis include topical solutions such as viscous lidocaine for pain, escalating to more oral pain medications as needed to help folks with their odynephagia and dysphagia. Similarly, with regards to immune-related adverse events, really the biggest ones were rash, which is, again, easily managed with topical steroids, and hypothyroidism, which is almost a universal effect of radiation, but now also occurs with regards to immunotherapy, and is very easy to manage and would just involve checking serially TSH and free T4s and administering levothyroxine or thyroid replacement to manage.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave on Air. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OnClive is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at OnClive. On Facebook, like us at OnClive and follow our OnClive page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of OnClive On Air, please also consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thank you again for listening to this episode of OnClive On Air.